My guest at this time is Stacy Swimp. He's a spokesman for the Project 21 Black Leadership Council, and he's the president of the Frederick Douglass Society. We wanted to get some of his thoughts on this Martin Luther King Day 2012, about where things currently stand in terms of race relations, and especially the issue of race in the 2012 presidential campaign. And Stacy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my privilege.
Real simple to start with here, Stacy. What do you believe Dr. King's strongest legacy is? What are you thinking about in terms of his legacy on this day?
I think Dr. King's biggest legacy is how he continued actually the work of Frederick Douglass, and both of them stood for a couple of things. One, they represented people who didn't have a voice. For his legacy, therefore, was one of justice, God's justice, because they believed. They took the Bible, and you have to understand that Dr. King was a prophetic minister first and foremost, and in every one of his books and every one of his speeches, he talked about that. So his greatest legacy is his faithfulness to biblical principles and how he juxtaposed that with social and political practice, and how he fought for equality in such a way that ended up making the nation better. I think he was, you know, and it's not embellishment, I think, to say that he was really very much of a 20th century Moses. And that's kind of how I kind of sum up the ministry, and it is a ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Stacy, as you move forward now, following his assassination in 1968, a lot of folks say he would be right there with other prominent black leaders from that era, same area where, you know, Jesse Jackson has ended up politically and so forth. Others say, no, he's a much more conservative person, especially on moral and traditional values issues, and it would be very different from where the movement ultimately ended up. Is there a way to know for sure where he would be if he were alive today on some of these key issues?
Yeah, I think so. The first thing you have to do is you have to read his books, because it's one thing to listen to the commercialization of Dr. King or the hijacking of his message by people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, but to read his books, read his own words in books such as Where We Go From Here, Community or Chaos, or The Real Measure of a Man, or Strength to Love, or read The Letter from Birmingham, or get this book called A Compilation of Martin Luther King's Speeches called A Testament of Hope. And you can clearly see that Dr. King was not some socialist communist apologist. He was a man who embraced personal responsibility. He believed that America, in fact, was a moral enterprise. And in fact, it's interesting that when he helped to found the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, what he felt was that he wanted to mobilize black churches to help understand their moral authority so that they could collectively impact all of America and be the social conscience of America. And he believed that the black church, or predominantly black churches, had a responsibility to be politically active. So now, let's juxtapose that with current social practice. When Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968, he was organizing what was called the Poor People's March, or Poor People's Campaign. What does that mean? That means that he had stopped talking about the dream that most of us can't stop talking about ourselves, and he had already written a speech called How to Stay Awake Through a Great Revolution. So now he was talking about economics. He was talking about joblessness. And today, he was assassinated, unfortunately, before he could complete that march. But today, I think he would still be marching. But I think he will be marching against such things as the draconian EPA laws that are killing jobs across our country. He was concerned about employment for all Americans. I think he'd be marching against such union subsidies as the Davis-Bacon Act, the racist law, which is still a Jim Crow law, in fact, of 1931 that continues to discriminate disproportionately against black Americans in the urban centers, keeping us locked out of construction jobs that are fully or wholly funded by federal government, and on the state level, they call that prevailing wages. So, and I think most importantly, he'd be fighting against such things as the prevention of school choice. I think he would be fighting with parents. He'd be fighting with children who need an opportunity to have equal education or access to quality education in the face of the opposition from powerful teachers' unions, and how these Jesse Jackson, NAACP, Congressional Black Caucus, even our president, rails against choices in education. So I think when you look at what King stood for, look at his literary work, look at the work he was doing right up until the time that he was assassinated, I think we have some quantitative and qualitative evidence to demonstrate what he'd be doing today.
We're talking with Stacy Swimp of the Project 21 Black Leadership Council. He's also president of the Frederick Douglass Society. And a couple more questions before we let you go, Stacy. One of the things you mentioned he was very focused on right around the time of his death is his impact on the poor. And one of the things we're hearing about from Van Jones and others is that they're saying today that he would absolutely be endorsing the Occupy movement over alleged income inequality. Accurate or inaccurate?
Totally inaccurate. Dr. King, if I can just share a quick story with you. When Dr. King went to Chicago, it was a very interesting experience for him because the North was unique from the South at that time. The North had its own issues with racism, but they didn't have the harsh Jim Crow laws out in front of them the same way the South did. But it was a subtle kind of thing, and in some cases more intense. And so when Dr. King went to Chicago for a rally, those liberals in Chicago who were trying to undermine what he was trying to accomplish sort of put these plants out there. And what I mean by that is they wanted to try to perpetuate this image or fraud that Dr. King was creating riots in Chicago. So once he got there, and these plants began to do whatever they did, and it kind of disrupted the march out there, but Dr. King responded to that. And here's what he said. He said that there are many with us today that are not here because they support the nonviolent direct action movement, but they are here because they seek a personal advantage. And he called them antisocial. And he said they were antisocial in the sense that they didn't care about the larger society. King was against anything that was disorderly or disrespectful or, in fact, disregarding a rule of law. You must understand that the civil rights movement was not essentially civil disobedience. That's not, because civil disobedience would mean that the Constitution was unjust. That's not what King believed. He said that we want you to be true to what you said on paper. The paper was the Constitution, my friends. OWS are radicals who have no respect for rule of law. They've been out here defecating in the public, raping women, disrespectful to authority. They've been violent. They've been disruptive. They've been misguided. They've been miseducated. And at the end of the day, they have no mission, they have no message, and they have no leadership.
Stacy, we'll have to leave it there. Have a wonderful Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Stacy Swimp is a spokesman for the Project 21 Black Leadership Council. He's also president of the Frederick Douglass Society. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.